Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Prashna Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Now, our revered Guru, Sri Swami Jyotirmayananji, lecturing this evening on highlights of the Upanishads. Presently lecturing on Prashna Upanishad, Pujyatman, Sri Swami Jyotirmayananji.
Om Bhadram Karane Bhishnuyama Deva Bhadram Pashyemaksh Iryajatra Sthirairangai Sushtuvagam Sastanu Vihvyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashrava Swastina Pusha Vishwaveda Swastina Starksho Arishtanemi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We are in Prashna Upanishad, the second question. As you recall, disciples have come before a great guru, and one by one they are asking questions. First question related to prana and rayi, spirit and matter. And the second question relates to who is the greatest in human personality. Allegorically, human personality is sustained by many aspects of God. Your mind, intellect, senses, the five elements, all that go to form your basic personality, they are described as gods. Why are they gods? Because the source of all is Brahman, the Absolute. Now the question, who is the greatest? And to this sage has replied, he gave a parable that once there was a discussion among the gods. That's why people can't rest. The gods start discussing. Who among us is the greatest? Ego said, I am the greatest. Intellect said, I am. Senses became senseless. They went to start bragging. Hands and feet, they said, without us, how can we work? So many things within your personality are great. But who is the greatest? To this question, prana began to depart from the body. This was to be resolved by, if they were to depart from the body, and whosoever, the departure of whosoever affects the body most, that will be the greatest. So, mind departed, and the person remains looked like crazy, but the body existed. Ego departed, and the body existed. Intellect departed, and the body existed. The eyes said goodbye for a while, and then and return. The eyes become sometimes blurred, you see. One by one, they created the experiment. But then came the turn of the pranas. We call pranas, but actually it's one prana expressing in different ways. When pranas started departing, they were like iron particles, and prana was like a magnet. They all started moving towards prana. And say, no more, we will not go after this discussion. You are the greatest, O prana. Don't depart. By this parable, you are being given the importance of life. Life is prana within you. Once that life departs, your body has no use. Embodied state and all its accomplishments depends upon life. But first your attention is drawn to life. Next, that life is symbolic of the absolute life, life of life, Brahman. But it's not easy for human mind to view God or Brahman as the highest, because you can't dramatize God moving away. Prana can move away from your body. God cannot. God may be omnipotent, but in certain areas his omnipotency doesn't work. However, the purpose of the Upanishad to direct your attention, lead your mind to the highest within you, the essential self, God, Brahman, and prana becomes easy symbol. Keeping that in view, let me go on and I will explain to you more. Ara iva ratanabhu prane sarvam pratishthitam richo yajonsi saman yajna kshatram brahmacha. The revelations of Rik, Yajur, Sam Vedas, as well as yajnas, rituals that are enjoined in the Vedas, as well as all classes of beings, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, all living beings are rooted in prana, just as the spokes are rooted in the navel of a wheel. A wheel has a navel, and all the spokes, they are rooted in that navel. Without that navel, the spokes will get out, move away. If the spokes are not there, the wheel will be dismantled. It's old style. In other words, the prana is not there. This body, senses, mind, intellect, ego, all this setup will have no meaning. You have to be embodied. And embodiment comes with prana, life coming in. If life itself is not there, all those I have spoken of, they become dismantled. Therefore, first your attention should go towards how blessed am I to be alive as a human being. So wake up in the morning with joy, the basic joy that you are born in divine plan with human embodiment. Manushyatvam, mumukshutvam, mahapurusha samshaya. Three things are extremely rare and is act of divine grace. And every day you need to be thankful to God. What are those three things? To be born as a human being, manushyatvam, because there are so many possibilities of birth. You could be a cat, a dog, a swan flying, a monkey jumping from tree to tree, a lion glaring at others. All possibilities are there. Can be just a little butterfly. In a world where there is countless possibilities for a soul to enter into embodiment, but all the countless embodiments, soul is not, doesn't have the possibility of attaining enlightenment. There are stories in the Puranas that even there were souls that attained liberation even in animal embodiment. The Puranas, firstly, they are allegorical. Secondly, you can take it. Soul that may have certain impediment, certain obstructive karma. So, even though it had attained a very great height, due to obstructive karma, entered into an animal embodiment. The great king Bharata entered into a deer embodiment. But having entered, he was enlightened, as in even in the deer embodiment. But that, I'm just giving you a little idea. To view animals are souls, but souls that are hospitalized. In hospitalized state, again, souls, all the patients are not in the same level of consciousness. They are in different levels. Animals also are not in the same level of consciousness. Some animals express great qualities of heart, of love, of subtle sensitivity, communing with human beings, all that. Different animals have different capacities. But as animal in that level, they can't do anything for attaining liberation. So they are hospitalized. You have to get out of the hospital. But if you have already attained enlightenment and you are hospitalized a little, that's fine, that's the end of it. Coming back, having human embodiment is great fortune. Therefore, let not your mind forget the purpose of entering into human embodiment. The purpose is exercise your self-effort towards four points, four values of life. That's called Purushartha. First, Dharma. Follow the path of virtue, ethical value, path of goodness. If that is not the basic prompter of your life is going to be a big waste. Not in the eyes of people. You can go viral, you see, in many areas. Get a lot of fame and glory, but not in deeper experience of inner joy. And if that is lacking, then all that attainment means nothing. So Dharma is your foundation. And to whatever extent you have been anchored to virtue, that is your definite fulfillment, profound enrichment, that you will carry from life to life. Everything else you will not. You don't have to believe in me. Look at people and what they have left behind. Next, artha. Artha is material value. Having entered your human embodiment, you are dependent on resources. How to have proper resources for your progress, for your education, for your growing up, and for your achieving whatever goal is in view. But in order to acquire artha resources, material resources, you should not ignore and go against dharma. So dharma, artha, artha is material value. Kama, kama is called vital value. As you develop virtue, create good resources for yourself, you begin to shine in the world. You develop a social setup. You become a householder, you have a family, you contribute to human beings in so many ways. They help you, you help them. And that again, that setup becomes profound. The entire creation, the world that has been presented by God, has a profound purpose. Every soul is led to a family life. It all depends. You may not choose to be there and become sannyasi or whatever. But in general, there is a vital value of life. How can you impact upon society? Impact upon human beings? And that becomes a profound purpose. And ultimately, the fourth is called moksha. Infinite value of life. Spiritual value, that's liberation. Soul having attained liberation, that's the purpose of the soul, is accomplished. So dharma, artha, kama and moksha. These goals, four aspected goals, are attained through human embodiment. And the highlight of the embodiment is prana, life. Prajapati charasi garbhe tvameva pratijayase tubhyam prana prajapa prajatvima balim haranti yah pranaya pratitishtasi. O prana, you are Prajapati, the lord of all. It is the style of the scriptures. Mind is directed towards something prominent within yourself, prana. But that prana becomes a beckoning symbol, directing your attention to Brahman, the absolute. Just like life sustains your body from the toes to the head. Brahman, God, sustains the entire cosmos, entire universe. And the life that expresses in you is an aspect of Brahman. So, when you are directing your attention to this miracle of life, that life is an expression of God. As if you are bowing down to your own life, knowing it is the life that is life of the universe. Bow down to any electrical light. You are bowing down to universal electricity. You are Brahman. You move about in the womb. Your soul has been embodied through all the biological process. And you are born in the likeness of parents. Every individual has inherited. From ordinary point of view, you have inherited certain factors that have come down through your forefathers. But think twice. Your forefathers have come down from God. So actual inheritance is immortality. Actual inheritance is attaining liberation. You are made in the image of God. First in the image of your forefathers. This one looks like his father. But as you begin to advance in a spiritual way, this one looks like the saint. Looks like Buddha. Looks like Jesus. Now you are looking like God. Made in the image of God. O prana who dwells along with the senses, and others, implying senses, mind, body. Indeed, all these beings offer oblations to you. When you develop the idea, you are adoring God. You develop at the same time the idea the entire world is adoring. It helps your adoration. It's a bhavana, feeling. Life is enjoyed by all creation. Little flowers, they turn to the sun, they are adoring. All glistening leaves, they are adoring prana, the life that is pulsating through all things. But while I'm directing your attention to life, actually I'm meaning life of life, presence of God. Devanam smibhatvahni tamah, pitrinam prathama swadha, rishinam charitam satyam, atharvangirasamasi. You are fire god among gods. You are swadha, carrier of offerings to forefathers. You are the active principles of the senses, the essence of the body. Now follow these points. You are fire, fire god among gods. Speech is presided by fire god. Another higher level of fire god is your intellect. Still higher level of fire god is Chaitanya, consciousness. I'm turning your attention to the another Upanishadic statement. What's the light of lights? When things are dark in the night, and someone says, here am I. And you say, oh, I know where you are. There's no light. But your speech acted like the light. So the speech has its illuminating effect in the practical world. But go further. Your mind is filled with confusion. Sometimes people complain. It's all dark. Even there are dramas in Shakespeare's writings. A king shouts, dark, dark, all dark. And his servants bring light. But he is referring to dark because of his sorrow in his mind. That darkness cannot be dispelled by external light. But that darkness can be dispelled by your intellect, understanding. And then, the source of all this illumination is your Paramatma within you, the Atma, the Self, which is pure consciousness. So in all ritual actions, when you see fire and how much importance is given to it, you are being led towards the recognition of the fire, that is pure consciousness. In ritual stage, mantras are recited, oblations are poured into the fire with a mental, a devotional will within your mind. May this reach my forefather, or may this offering reach Lakshmi Devi, or any Indra, Kubera, Shiva, Rama. All these are symbolic acts. Fire. Try to understand the variations of fire. Fire must continue to burn within you as long as you live. That fire must open up to higher level of illumination. The Sanskrit word for fire, another word is called vahani. Vahani means vahan karna. Fire is a postman. Carries your prayers on his back and gives to the gods to whom you are offering the prayers. Your prayers are carried by fire. Fire within you must realize has many implications. If you have faith in God, you have fire. Your faith becomes stronger, spiritual vitality develops, virya. The fire is becoming higher, stronger. Another point is brought out. When we talk about prana, the most simplest of expression of prana is your breathing. Breath relates to prana. Prana relates to mind. Mind relates to intellect. Intellect relates to bhavanas. Deep heart level experience, and bhavana relates to anubhav, experience of God. So in order to touch God, start touching your nose. That's where the prana, first the breath, and breath is relating to prana behind it. As you are controlling, harmonizing the breath, thereby you allow the functions of prana to become harmonized. You are controlling prana within you, starting with breath. Breath itself is not prana. So if you hold the breath for a long time, you will become prana-less. But if you harmonize your breathing, you are allowing the prana to become especially integrated within yourself. Why are you doing that? Creating a pranic balance within yourself. Because when you have that, your mind gathers its strength. It becomes healthy. Mind that is doesn't have the support of prana, mind then becomes shallow. It leans towards stressful thoughts, dejection, sorrow, misery. Its memories become distorted. So many things have happened in your life. But mind that is not being assisted by healthy prana, that mind recalls the most miserable things and adds a spice to it by imagination. And you can lead yourself to intense suffering because of lack of prana, which has caused a mental state of stress, dejection, distress, and so forth. So therefore, if you have started pranayama, breathing exercises, you have brought certain balance in the pranic functions, it aids your mind. Mind becomes now inclined to be objective, patient, able to recollect positive impressions, able to understand the profounder meaning of life, or at least able to tide over adversity with patience. And while mind is doing that, your intellect becomes more profound in understanding. Intellect goes on developing a deeper assimilation of things that you learn from scriptures. Your manan shakti, reflective process, your vichar, practice of inquiry or reflection becomes more effective. Therefore, advanced people are said to possess sukshma buddhi, subtle intellect, sharp intellect. All these words are used in an allegorical way. And as your intellect becomes sharper in a spiritual way, the feeling of your heart now, previously it was like a closed house, and you had a picture before you of a wonderful forest. The trees are swinging in wind, all in painting. But that state of experience is dull intellect. As intellect becomes purified, now as if window has opened, and you are not looking at a painting, but you are looking at the real world, breeze blowing through the forest, the light pouring through the trees, real world, bhavana, now your feeling becomes magnanimous. That again is something one must understand and think of. Everyone has feeling in the heart, with the potentiality of developing cosmic love, a feeling that will commune with every life, shine with everything that is shining. That feeling becomes so restricted that a person gets up in the house and all that he is thinking, whom I have to shout at? Even people whom he has loved so much, his mind is throbbing with that, whom I have to fight against. Bhavana becomes so little. The same bhavana has the possibility of go beyond the house, beyond your family, beyond all restrictions, and commune with the heart of all. Again, not to give difficulty to your mind, if you are communing with the heart of God, you are communing with the heart of all. Love of God comes into your heart. Thereby your heart becomes able to sustain a prayer, sarve bhavantu sukhina, may all be happy. If that divine affirmation has not entered your heart, that God is with me, then that feeling cannot arise. Sarve bhavantu sukhina. May all be happy. Then your mind will go after calculations. How many people can I really help? How much is the capacity in my computer? Again, another point. As I said, breath links to prana. Prana to mind. Mind to intellect. Intellect to bhavana, feeling. Feeling to parabhakti, supreme devotion. Come other way round. If your pranas are harmonized, your breathing will be healthy. If your mind is calm, your prana will tend to be harmonized in your body from the toes to the head. If your intellect has a clearer understanding, your mind will be healthier. Prana will be healthier. Thereby your day-to-day life will be full of health. So it goes both ways. Indrastvam prana tejasa rudrosi parirakshita tvamantarikshe charasi suryastvam jyotisham pati. O prana, you are the effulgent Indra, the ruler of gods. Indra term was equivalent to Brahman in Vedic times. Therefore, your senses are called Indriyas, instruments of God. And prana within you is being adored as God's representative. So you are offering this prayer to prana. You are God, representative of God. Therefore, you are effulgent Indra, the source of all the senses. You are the inspiration behind the senses, the mind, the intellect. You are the protector in the form of Rudra. Rudra referring to, all the three aspects of God, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. As Brahma, you are the creator. As Vishnu, sustainer. As Shiva, dissolver. Even from ordinary point of view, it is this energy, cosmic energy that sustains this entire universe. That's the prana. But behind the cosmic prana, there is cosmic mind. That becomes now the subject matter of philosophy and spirituality. And cosmic mind is nothing but Brahman, the absolute. You move in the sky, implying that your movement is characterized by expansion. The movement is allegorical, implying as a soul moves towards God, there is an increasing expansion in consciousness. You are the sun, the lord of the luminaries. Luminaries are, your senses are the first stage of luminaries. The world will be dark and nothing. Because of your senses, you recognize the world. Even if there were, sun may be shining, not one sun, but many suns. And if you are blind, it will be all dark. So what actually illumines your senses? What illumines the senses? Mind. What illumines the mind? Intellect. And what has given such power and glory to the intellect? Brahman. So, if your mind were to become very profound, then every tinge of experience that you are having at every moment is an expression of the presence of Brahman. And that's enough for now. Om Shanti.